And with that, we do bring on, formerly of Lorraine and Beachwood, and a few other stops before that, we have Coach Damian Creel, the new head coach at Euclid. Coach, thanks for taking the time to join us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Busy time, but I appreciate you. I have no clue.
You know, you're right. We don't at all. We haven't talked with Coach Carter, who's about 4 hours away. Naturally, he's up here now. You've been going cross town from Lorraine to the east side for a little bit, transitioning over. Coach, talk about some of the successes you had at Lorraine. You guys had a great season last year, and yeah. What was it about the Euclid job that screamed, I need to coach here?
The biggest thing, I really wasn't interested in looking, and it just came about with, with the drive at Lorraine. You know, I live on the east side of Cleveland in Beachwood, so it's a 45-minute trip every day. Wake up at 4:30, not getting home till sometimes 9. So the amount of work that we had to put in at Lorraine to get that thing turned around just kind of wore me out. And I really, like I said, I really wasn't looking, but the opportunity came about. And originally I was like, I don't know. And then it came back again. And let me think about this for a second, you know. And who knows if I would get an opportunity to get closer to home with a school that historically, you know, has players and has talent. Obviously, the last 3 years they've underachieved for whatever reason or whatever the circumstance may be. So I had a long talk with my family over the break, over Christmas break, because it all took place over break. And that was kind of the crazy thing, because I wasn't able to talk to my Lorraine kids and tell them. So that's a story for another day. But, historically a great program. I have friends that I played in college, went to Euclid. And it just intrigued me with the amount of talent that Euclid normally has. And looking at film, the talent was there. Again, don't really know why they underachieved. But, you know, we're here to correct that. And try and push these guys to get this program back to the tradition they used to have back in the 90s, and obviously recently with before Jeff left.
So, Coach, congratulations again on getting the Euclid job.
Thank you.
Just kind of talk about, you know, the Greater Cleveland Conference. We just had one brand new coach for Brunswick coming out, Coach Carter. Strongsville is still looking for a new coach. Solon has left the conference. So, you know, there's a lot of change going on, but you still have, you know, these high-powered Division I schools. You came from a Division I school, but now you're having a whole conference full of them. Talk about that challenge that you're going to have. I know you got a lot of things going on the inside trying to build the program, but have you had an opportunity to actually look at this conference in general and look at the opportunities you have there to really put on something special?
I did, and I actually looked at the GCC more when Cleveland Heights and Shaker came into the league this past year, because obviously they left the LEL and moved over there. So I got some friends on both staffs on Shaker and Cleveland Heights, so I was able to look at the league more in depth and see the talent. Now at Lorraine, my first 2 years we played Medina, so we played against Drew Aller and. And then we played against them the following year and did a better job than the first year, obviously. But, you know, from top to bottom, you got great coaches. You got, you know, story tradition. Strongsville has always been good. Minner has always been good. Coach Mack at Shaker has it rolling, obviously, going 10-0 in the league. And Coach Nicholson did a hell of a job this year getting his team turned around and finally turned the corner. So, you got Brunswick, who was always good with Coach Pizzone. Obviously, he stepped down, and I got a new guy in there now, and Medina. So from top to bottom, it's a great league. I think, you know, we have the talent to compete in that league. Obviously, there are some things that we got to take care of internally before we can compete with these guys week in and week out. But I think we have the kids to do it. So great league, and there's probably going to be more change coming in 25-26 that I don't know if you guys are aware about. I'll keep that. My AD just talked to me today about that. So they're looking for a little bit more expansion. So I guess you guys get, you know, the word of that. I can't really talk about that now.
Well, we appreciate the teasers, though, Coach. Thank you so much for that.
But it'll be good for it'll be good for the league, obviously. But you know, from top to bottom, GCC is to me, along with the Southwest Conference, is one of the top two conferences in the upper half of our state in Northeast Ohio, so to speak.
Coach, congratulations on becoming the new head coach for the Euclid Panthers. I just want to kind of dive into a little bit of your background. You spent 6 years with Glenville's head coach, Ted Ginn. I just kind of talk about two things. Number one, talk about that whole experience for you. And then number two, what was it like being around Ted Ginn, who just recently won his second straight state championship? Just kind of talk about how that whole experience was and what was it like being on that staff with him?
It was a tremendous experience. I think I've taken a lot of experiences from everywhere I've been at. I've taken a little bit of nugget from everyone, and obviously being with Ted, I was able to learn a lot. I learned an awful lot on how to be a head coach, watching him, how to coach talent. I had the opportunity to do everything. I've been an offensive coordinator there, defensive coordinator. I mean, 1 year when I was a defensive coordinator, all 11 of our starters were D1 players. And Coach Ginn gave me the opportunity to grow as a coach and coach those guys the way I wanted to coach them, I think is a tremendous opportunity for me. So that those situations put me in a better position to do what I'm doing now, and I think I wouldn't be the coach I am today, not being able to been at Glenville and go through those situations. All of them were not great either. You know, you had some growing pains as well, but the relationships I was able to build with some of those kids, and obviously some of them playing on Sundays now. Was tremendous, and I wouldn't trade that 6 years there for the world. Being able to coach in a state championship game, and just the life lessons I learned, and those things and those tools that I can put in my toolbox to help me navigate my current situations now, and helping young coaches as well, was tremendous. So I wouldn't trade that for the world.
Yeah, congratulations, Coach. We appreciate you coming on tonight. You know, at Lorraine, you had so much success. And I know a lot of online, you know, looking at, you know, we're part of a Lorraine County Friday night group, and a lot of Lorraine fans there were really sad that you left, obviously, because you did such a great job in turning that program around. But they said you built the culture and really changed a lot of those kids' lives, and you saw it. I mean, Lorraine, you know, was doing really well, and then they kind of had a few down years, and when you stepped in, you really built that program up, and every year everybody expected them to be at the top, and they were. You know, so how tough was it, and talk a little bit about your experiences at Lorraine and how you went from the bottom. How tough was it to really build up that program and get them to where they were in the end there? Because it seemed like every year, you know, you kept at the top and you figured out what worked well with those kids, and a lot of other coaches couldn't do that.
Well, I can say I always joked around with the committee that hired me. They didn't tell me how bad shape that Lorraine was actually in. So I'm gonna give you guys perspective here. A lot of people don't realize that in 2020, Lorraine was the only school in Lorraine County that didn't play a football season. During that COVID year, I was at Beachwood, and we actually ended up playing 9 games, but we didn't play the first three games because there were a bunch of teams that started at the beginning of the season. Some people started towards the middle of the season. When I took over that team in Lorraine, There were two starters from a team 2 years ago. Two seniors, Jacob Addis and Tracy Williams. So a bunch of our starters were sophomores. And to give you perspective, the last time those guys touched the field was in eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
They didn't play their freshman year. So pretty much it was like taking over a program that had the death penalty. And no one really knows the amount of effort that it took to get those kids to where they were at, obviously 2 years from then. You know, the state allowed us to have a spring football season. So we hit the ground rolling, man. We had spring practice. It was the first time, I think, ever in the state of Ohio where we were able to practice for the month of May. We practiced that whole month of May, other than the time I had to shut down practice for 2 weeks because of grades. So we had to focus on getting kids eligible to be able to play. So during that month of May, we shut down two weeks. And during that time, we ended up playing. We had a spring game at the end of May. I think it was May 31st on a Saturday, where Glenville came up. And we scrimmaged them because CMSD was also another league that didn't play games during the COVID. The big thing about Lorraine and those kids, they didn't believe in themselves. There was no weight room culture. But you had a group of kids that bought into my vision and what I saw for the program and how I saw the program could be. First year, we got our butts kicked up and down the field. And our kids had a lack of belief. We weren't big enough. We weren't strong enough. We weren't fast enough. And nor did we know any football. So we were teaching that whole first year just the game of football. We were teaching the kids how to compete, because a lot of them didn't play since their eighth grade year. And every senior on that team, the returning starter, Tracy Williams, got hurt. There were maybe 3 to 4 other starters senior-wise that got hurt that year. So we were essentially playing all sophomores and juniors, which in one way is a good thing. But in another way, when you're playing against Olmsted Falls, with Coach DeLuca, I mean, and we're playing against, you know, Cleveland Heights, Shaker, and Maple with Shaq, you know, it was tough going through that. And, you know, I give my kids a lot of credit because they stuck with it. We didn't lose any kids. The kids bought in. We had a full season of moving to the second year. We had a full off season where the kids bought into the weight room culture, and they busted their tail. We ended up 3-7 that second year. Should have been 5-5, but our kids didn't know how to. They didn't know how to fight through adversity. We would get to a certain point in the game, something goes wrong, and then our kids would just, they would just, it was it, right? So, you know, we were in a lot of close ball games that got out of hand late, like in the fourth quarter, because our kids just didn't know how to punch through that adversity. And then we had another off season in the weight room. And again, the kids just busted their tail in the weight room in the summertime, did everything we asked them to do as coaches. And we came back and we had a successful season. And there were a lot of structural things that needed to be tweaked with as well. We had 3 middle schools that were, none of them were successful, 7th or 8th grade. So I essentially combined those 3 middle schools into 1 7th grade and 1 8th grade team. And they practiced behind the stadium. So I was able to wrap my hands around them. Our coaching staff was able to wrap our hands around them. And we got some quality coaches in there to help out as well. We were able to bust those kids over for practice. Those 8th graders started lifting, you know, springtime. And middle school was practicing in the month of July, which has never took place before. So all the credit goes to the kids, because nowadays with this generation, kids that don't reach success right away, you know, this generation is microwavable. You guys all know that. They want things right now. But this group of guys I had, man, they bought in, they believed, and they went through the struggle. They embraced everything that they went through. And this past year, you know, we were able to see the growth that we made. And we should have been 10-0, We let two games get away from us that still burns my soul to this day. But, you know, those kids mean a lot because they withstood all of the ridicule from their classmates, the community, and they turned it around, and they were some dudes this year. So I'm real proud of what we were able to do with Lorraine, and a lot of people don't have an understanding of what we went through. So I will always cherish what we did at Lorraine and how we were able to become successful. And the program now is a lot better than what it was when I took over. And I take pride in that. You never want to leave anything worse off than what it was. So that program is set up for success. I think it's an attractable job. I think a lot of people didn't think it could be an attractable job. And I think people I know they're going through the interview process now. A lot of people were interested in that job based off of what we were able to do. But kudos to my kids, man. And they know who they are. They know how special they are to me.
We're talking with new Euclid head coach Damian Creel. Coach, that's a very good perspective that I don't know if a lot of people really thought about, especially in the situation that your school, that Lorraine and all the Senate League schools for that matter, in that they lost an entire year. And when you put it to the perspective of sophomores, the last time they played organized football was in eighth grade.
Nope.
We all know how big of a difference there is between eighth grade and 10th grade. Just in development and pretty much in every facet in adolescent life. It is a testament to your kids that they took their lickings as sophomores and were able to see the vision and push through it to get to a successful season as seniors.
For sure.
That is one of the best stories I think I've heard, from a coaching perspective. And I think I have to imagine that was part of the interview process with Coach Fisher, with AD Tony Fisher at Euclid. So now that you're with Euclid, as you're still kind of wrapping your head around things and getting the process put together, as we mentioned this, we talked about this with Coach Carter, getting the youth programs involved, and from a coaching perspective, you are more local than he is, so I imagine you have some coaching contacts that you're going to be able to bring with you to Euclid. How's that process going for you as far as assembling a staff and really setting out the vision for what you want for Euclid?
It's going well. I am almost done with my staff. The offensive side of the ball is completed. My receiver coach that's been with me for 4 years, traveled back. He's actually a Cleveland guy, so he took the trip out with me to Lorraine. And now he lives 5 minutes away from Euclid, so he's with me, Greg Morrow. My defensive coordinator, Scott Watley, who was at Cleveland Heights, son Justin Watley is playing at Arizona State. He was with me at 3 years in Lorraine, so he's coming with me. And it's key for me because we already have that knowledge of knowing each other and how the defense and how I want defense to be and how he coaches. So I honestly can, not even be at our defensive practice and Scott knows what I expect from our defense and obviously what I want and how I want things ran, and obviously he's a seasoned coach as well. So having a knowledgeable guy like Scott Watley is tremendous. And then being able to add the pieces that we're adding to our staff, we're going to have a great round of staff. We got a lot of guys with some college experience. I want to make sure I put the best coaches around these kids. Because I think they, number one, they deserve it. Number two, we have to be able to compete in the GCC. You just can't come out here and just sling the ball around or think you're going to be able to be successful with inexperienced coaches. So every single one of my coaches on the varsity has either college or high school experience over 15 plus years. And some of the guys that are joining my staff are guys that I had at Beachwood. that when I went to Lorain, it didn't come. And obviously some of the guys from Lorain. So another college guy is Dante Darby, who's going to be on our defensive side. So it's I like where our staff is right now. I got one more coach I have to hire, one more position I'm looking for, possibly. So we're going to see how that goes. Other than that, I'm happy where we're at, who we got. And now it's time, you know, to get the ball rolling and get the coaches around the kids so we can start this culture change and mindset change.
Yeah, that was going to be my last question for you, Coach. Have you had an opportunity to, you know, sit down with the players or meet with the players, or, you know, what kind of reception have you gotten from them or in addition to that, the community itself because Euclid, you know, it's got a storied history of great football. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are really rooting for you to bring that back.
Well, I can say I've been told, honestly, I didn't realize the amount of excitement that people would have about the Euclid job. I knew it was a good job, but when they made the announcement, it was kind of overwhelming to see the excitement from the public. Everyone in Euclid has been great, from the administration to, you know, some of the teachers, and they understand the importance of sport at Euclid and football, what football means. So I feel the pressure a little bit. Pressure's there. They want a competitive football team, and they understand the last 3 years that they've underachieved. So the pressure's there a little bit, but I think they do understand what it's going to take to get this program back. And I can say where we started at in Lorain and where I'm starting at in Euclid, Euclid's a little bit higher where we're starting, a little bit, it has a higher ceiling. So we understand that, and we're aware of that. And so we're going to hopefully hit the ground running when it comes to that. So we're excited, man. I was able to meet the kids the second week. And what's unique about this whole situation, Lorain let me out of my contract. So I was teaching in Lorain. Great relationship with those people. Jeff Graham, the superintendent. I mean, I have nothing bad to say about the people in Lorain. Jeff Graham let me out of my contract. And for this to be successful, you know, I ended up starting in Euclid last week. So it's been a whirlwind, because I'm sitting here trying to learn everything that I have to do mid-year. So I'm in the building at Euclid right now. I've been there 3 days. Met with the kids, last week. And we had our first day, you know, acclimation in the weight room today. So we had about 30 kids, which is a decent number. And again, they started today where we're trying to change the culture and the mindset of these kids so we can be successful. And we had a good day today, good first day. The kids are working, so we're in that time now where I'm teaching them how I want things done. We're focusing on the little things so that we can, you know, increase our strength to be able to compete with a Strongsville up front, to compete with a Brunswick up front, a Mentor and a Medina up front, and obviously Shaker and Cleveland Heights as well. I mean, everybody, you know, everybody's strong in the league. So that's what we're trying to create, trying to stack days, build the foundation of what we want this program to be. And we're gonna be young. We got a good sophomore group, and we got some seniors that are there as well. So excited about it. You know, this is the fun part. I was able to meet the staff today for the first time, and I said I told the staff today I'm ready for the work, and I'm running towards the hard. You know, this is the hard part, you know, and I'm not afraid of it. This is what I look forward to. And this is where you can sit back one day and be like, golly, man, we did that. You know, we did that. What people think we couldn't do, we're doing. And, you know, you're building a relationship with the kids, and you're going through and fixing all the things that need to be fixed, and you're changing the mindset. And again, I think where we're starting at is totally different than where we were at in Lorain. So I'm excited and ready to get to work.
Oh, Coach, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us. I know you have, it's a little bit on the later side, you're starting to make the full transition over. So we appreciate you talking about really the entire conversation. You know, what you did at Lorain, a school we don't normally cover. know, but it was a tremendous story, and we're looking forward to seeing what you can do in Euclid. We're excited for you. Congratulations again, and thanks for taking the time to join us. We look forward to seeing what the off season holds, and we'll be starting our previews here in July and August. Okay. We certainly look forward to talking about Euclid at that point.
Yeah, come check us out, man. I appreciate you guys having me, and go Panthers.